Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this? This is Felder and Matt.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Told you so.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Miami by 16. Oh, Jalen exposed to the ball and stripped away clean by Oladipo. Jalen, right-hand dribble on Oladipo. Stumbles, turns it over. On the foul, didn't get it. Here's Adebayo. Running into Tatum. Scores easily. Jalen from Marcus. Right-hand dribble. Return pass. He misses Jalen by a mile and turns it over. Jalen Brown is stripped clean by Oladipo. Back-to-back turnover by the Celtics. Miami by 12 in the ball.
Oladipo has jumped on their arm every time.
The Celtics have been horrific with the basketball here. Bad pass by Smart. Tatum can't save it. Another turnover, and Grant Williams gives the take foul. Smart foul to prevent the fast break.
Too many turnovers.
17 now. Jalen Brown and Oladipo will jump it. Ball in the air. Jalen has it. Throws it out towards Tatum. Deflected. Caleb Martin has it go out of bounds. They'll say off Tatum. And Miami controls the loose ball.
Oladipo jumped right into the body of Brown, so he couldn't get off the floor then. Smart play here.
Here's the answer to Tatum. Tatum against Tyler Hero. Turns, kick out, throws it away. Tatum turns it over again. White, left-hand dribble, Adebayo chasing him, bounce pass. Jalen tries to turn. Oladipo bumps him, knocks him off balance, and rips the ball away. Tatum, straight away up top, gets a screen from Jalen Brown. Switches to the right hand, turns it over. Oladipo strips him of the ball. Tatum, right-hand dribble, throws away a bounce pass, diving to the floor. Tucker's got it. 48 seconds to go. Near steal in the backcourt. Lowry's got it. Lowry steps in front of Smart, finds Max Strus, dives in and scores, and that is game three.
Kyle Lowry came in and stepped through. You made a lazy pass then, and that's another turnover. Lowry made it up. Lowry is that difference maker we talked about.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thought we'd start you off with the bad news from Saturday night. Sampling of the 24 turnovers that the Celtics committed against the Heat in that Game 3 loss. It is a re-entry Monday. Felger has come to you on location here, live from Hurricanes at the Garden. And Maz Murray alongside. How you guys doing?
Good, you?
Oh, Peachy, thank you so much. Let's start with some Celtics. What'd you think of that?
Oh, it was a debacle. It was a complete and total debacle. You know, we've used the phrase as it pertains to the Bruins, and Claude Julien was the original term. That was a freaking wet fart. That's what that game was. That was a complete, total disaster. I'm appalled. I honestly, I don't know how a team, after playing Game 2 and getting even in the series, getting home court in the conference final, you know, winning home court, could come out and then play Game 3 the way they played it. It was a no-show. It was a no-show, really, across the board. Jalen Brown, I thought, showed up. Jalen Brown played pretty much wire-to-wire, I thought. He was about the one Celtic I didn't have a major issue with, although he was as guilty as committing turnovers as anybody else. 23? 23 turnovers.
You deserve to lose.
What, are you trying to open a freaking bakery? Like, what's the story here? What are we doing?
When you insist on playing that kind of sloppy type of basketball and you're checked out from the get-go, you deserve to lose. I still think the Celtics have more talent. They have more depth than Miami. And I know Bam Adebayo finally woke up, but they deserve to lose that game. A complete no-show. I don't get it. Why do they suck so badly at home? They've played better during this postseason on the road. That and, like, game one of the Milwaukee series? It's inexcusable.
Do you think it's a home-road thing, Mass?
No, I don't. I think it's an urgency thing. And, again, go back to the Milwaukee series. They never led that series until game seven. And I think the same thing is now happening in the Miami series. And you can only, in game ones, they're 0-2. In game threes, they're 0-2. In game fives, they're 0-1. So every time they have a chance to take control of a series, they take their foot off the gas and they get you know, pace it, and they don't get, they don't necessarily get blown out in every game. You know, in the Milwaukee game, they obviously gave the game away. But even so, like, I don't think they understand that, you know, you want to play that game this, you know, play that way this time, that's fine, but Game 7's in Miami. Game 7 is in Miami. You know, it's not going to be as easy to win down there as it is here.
True, but I still think that they have more of a sense of an urgency on the road. I really believe that. They showed that in that Milwaukee series. This, I think that, like, they're resting on their own laurels. They hear their... They hear how people are talking to them. They read the press clippings. They think they can just show up at home. The crowd's going to get them up, and they can show up and win these games.
All right, folks. Is that the kind of game that worries you? 617-779-0985. It would me. It would me. Those are, it's one of those nights where, you know, look, I think the Celtics are a really talented team. It didn't take me very long to buy in on them. I've always bought in on their talent. You know, I'm no Celtic fan, but you know me. I've felt they've been and had the roster be a championship contender for a while. So I've been high on their chances versus the field. For, you know, so like, I like their squad. I think they're a really good team, and I think they're really close. But there are just times when I think
they're not trustworthy.
They just don't quite have it. They don't have that intangible it. They have all the talent to win. This year, given what the league is right now, they have the talent to do it. They've got mostly the mindset to do it, but maybe not quite. And like Saturday night's one of those nights where I say, you know what? You're just not ready. You're just not ready. You're just not there. And maybe it's just age or it's maturity, and it's just a matter of time before you get there. But I watch them really just sort of flailing around, and that's what they're doing. They're just flailing around. They're flailing around at the refs. They're flailing around on the floor. They're hurt. I'm not hurt. I'm in the locker room. I'm out of the locker room. I'm bitching at the ref. I'm putting my hands up. You know, the thing I've been saying now for like 2 or 3 weeks, can you just play? Just play. Everybody just play. And I think there's just nights where there's too much other crap, and I know I'm not saying that very well.
It's unnecessary theatrics.
It's the first segment on a Monday, so I can't quite articulate it. It'll come to me by the end of the week. I'll bore it down for you a little bit. But there's just something that's just not right. It's just not there. They're just not dialed in. They're just not fully there. They're not fully present. They can't let go of the crap. They can't let go of their crap. They can't stop playing to the refs or playing to the crowd or playing with their injuries or just, you know, there's just something not there. And I feel that from time to time. You're close. Like, you're 9/10 of the way there. But I feel like you're just missing that last little thing. And it comes up from time to time. And I saw it again on Saturday night. And I think it's going to come up again and prevent you from winning it all. And it's probably not this series. Maybe it's the next one. But you're not there. And I saw it again on Saturday night.
I mean, to me, a championship caliber team that lost to Miami 2 years prior has improved the way that they have improved, the Celtics now. Come home for game three, you grab the series by the throat. That's what you do. So I don't know whether this, you know, fits your narrative or not, but to me there's an absence of killer instinct there. There is a, we got them now. We got them now, whether Kyle Lowry's coming back or not. You've got a chance here to grab the series by the throat. You win the two at home, and now you go down there 3-1, and you say, we got this thing. All we got to do is win one of the next two, and it's over. And they didn't, you know, they just, I can live with losing a game, because let's face it, a lot of these teams that are left are close. But I can't live with the no-show.
It was a no-show.
The no-show was how does that happen? I just find that to be stunning in that scenario, to be in the conference final, win one of two on the road, come home for game three, and you don't show up.
Your first game, home game of the series, you blow them out game two. The place is all jacked up. It's a weekend night. And again, like Maz said, the game was essentially lost. I don't know, they had the comeback, but it was lost the way that they handled that first quarter. They didn't show up.
I part of me wants to say, and I'm not fully going in with both feet with this, because I can see them winning the championship. They're talented enough to do it.
Sure.
But something tells me they're not quite there. They're almost there. They're not quite there. They can't check their crap at the door. All of it. You can do some of it. They can certainly respond to adversity. They can certainly come back from a bad night you know, which is why I fully expect them to blow doors tonight. But it's going to be in some kind of fashion where they just get ridiculously hot from three for a quarter or a half like we've seen before. They go on some sort of insane run because they can't miss. And now they're up 20. Miami has no shot. And it's just, it's sort of a walkover and it's a feel-good sort of thing. And like, but that's how I see them winning it. If they have to dig deep tonight and they got to grind one out, I don't love their chances. And I don't typically love their chances in that kind of game, period. And maybe that's just another indication of it. But all the... God, there was just so much bullcrap in that game the other night. You people out there still let them get away with the fake injury return from the locker room? You still do that?
Oh, people love it, Mike.
Well, what is the matter with you? Like, how many times do you got to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
The smart one was the best.
I mean, how many times are you going to fall for that? The banana in the tailpipe is Beverly Hills Cop, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Look it up, kids, if you never saw it. But how many times are you going to... Like, that's just... Are you watching wrestling and you know it's fake and yet still just makes you feel good?
Yes.
And so it's just like, is that it too? You know, like, you know, I know this isn't real, but it's cool. And so, wee! Yay! Jason! Marcus! Oh, God, I don't believe it! You're back! I can't believe it! And you know it's a put-on and you know they're playing to the crowd, but you get up anyway just because it's cool and that's what you're supposed to do. And
yes.
All right. So it's like, so now we're just dealing in the land of make-believe.
Yep.
It's wrestling. You know? Like,
in a lot of ways, the NBA is, Mike.
I mean, the smart thing, they show him in the hallway, and he's running again. Then they show him coming out on the floor, and he's limping.
And he's
did
huffing
you see
and,
that?
Oh, yeah, and huffing and puffing, too.
Of
course
that?
I did. Of course I did.
That was unbelievable.
Ow. Ooh. Oh. Yeah. He starts jumping around again.
It's
like,
all
no problem,
brother.
It is.
Back, he's in the back hallway, and you're like, oh, maybe it wasn't that bad. I don't see any sign of a limp. Then he comes out on the floor, and it's like his freaking legs were taped together. Like, it was unbelievable.
And meanwhile, you know, I think Tatum was kind of tapping out in that moment.
They were losing, and he was embarrassed. I mean, thought that.
He was going so bad, and so he hits the deck, and he's there for a minute, you know, as they're going up and down the floor. It's freaking embarrassing. And then, oh, no, but then they go on a little run, and they climb back in the game while he's in the locker. No, I'm coming back, guys. Here I am.
That's what I thought. He was looking for that hero pop that Marcus Smart got. I really believe that. They got within one. He's back. Oh, no, now it's my time.
God. It's just such crap. It's just nonsense. It's just little kitty nonsense. And you play into it. They play into you playing into it. And are you guys going to worry about playing the game?
No.
Why don't you, when they tip the ball, bear down, put them away? They don't have Jimmy Butler in the second half. The game is yours. Just focus for a second and just play and put aside all the other crap. Can you do that? No.
No.
I don't know if they can. I don't think they're quite ready. But then again, they might be. They're so close. They're so good. They're right here. They might. I'm not saying there's no way they can win. There's a little piece of me says they're not quite ready, and Saturday night was another indication. What do you think? To your calls right after this.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Tonight, it's the Celtics in Game 4. Right now, it's Celtics fans at Hurricanes at the Garden with Felger and Mass, presented by Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, in the previous game, as everybody know, they beat us like we stole something. I mean, that should wake anybody up. You know, getting beat like that at home. You know, from my point of view, that's, you know, that says it all.
Spam Adebayo said they beat us like we stole something. Miami, I think, has the mindset. I think they're, you know, arrived on that end of it, the edge and that whole thing, the focus. And that's not their issue. Their issue is they're undergunned. The Celtics are so much more talented, I think, than that Heat team. But for the second straight series, I'd say the same thing. That top to bottom, the Celts are more talented than their opponent. Their opponent has them in terms of experience or edge or toughness or, you know, that intangible we're kind of talking about. So, you know, Milwaukee's edge or experience wasn't enough to overcome the talent gap. Probably be the same with Miami. It's not like I'm picking the Heat in this series. I'm talking about going all the way. Now I'm talking about beating the Warriors. Are the Celtics fully arrived at that stage that you need to be in the NBA? I don't know if they're there.
I mean, based on the last game, they're not. Again, I don't know how you come home and don't show for that game. Now, like, you know, the only variable I will give them, and I felt this way for a long time, it's not a reaction to game three. This series, Bam Adebayo was going to be a problem in this series if he didn't have Robert Williams.
And he definitely was the other night.
So I think, you know, I don't think that's a one-off. I think that if Robert Williams is not on the floor, Bam Adebayo becomes more of a factor. Now, is he going to go for, you know, 30? No, I don't think. Not without Williams on the floor every game, but he's going to, you know, Adebayo's a good player. He was a no-show in games one and two.
Okay, to your phones as promised. Jimmy and Medway. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I know we talk about it all the time, guys, but the other night was just too much for me to handle when it comes to how insufferable this team is to watch from a flopping, complaining standpoint. When Marcus Smart went down like he got shot, I had to put my mortgage on the fact that he'd be back in that game, and Maz just stole my thunder underneath the tunnel, moving around like he's about to run the Boston Marathon. And then, of course, as soon as he comes back out, he's limping around and played up for the fans. I'm like, am I the a-hole for not falling for this? And then Tatum, how about you focus on your game and not turning the ball over every 3 seconds instead of playing patty cake with your kid while you're at work? I've really tried to get on the bandwagon here as a Bruins fan, and, you know, maybe this is dramatic, but thank God the Sox have turned it around because I give up. I can't watch these guys anymore.
Well, that's a little strong. I mean, I'm not watching. I'm just – my analysis is, do they have what it takes in every element, in every phase, to go all the way and win a championship? And – I don't know. Nights like Saturday make me wonder if they have the maturity yet. I think they're still immature. You hope. You hope it's immaturity because that then means that they grow up and they get over it and they ultimately cross the threshold. The if it's not immaturity, it's just who they are and they never quite get it, then they're that team that never quite gets it. But, you know, I wouldn't put it, you know, they're young. I'd like to think it's just a maturity thing. But I think they're just a hair short of it. And if they stop having nights like the other night, then I'll say they're all the way there. But they're not all the way there. Leo in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Leo.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I mean, this team is no doubt a very talented team. They're immature. They're like one of your kids. One day you go, oh, I think she gets it, right? Look at them, hardworking, diligent. Next day they're acting like a 14-year-old again. I just think they're just not there with the maturity.
They're not there.
And that's why, like, after Saturday, I don't trust them. Like, I'm with you. I think they're more talented. They're deeper than Miami. I think that they could actually give the Warriors a decent enough run. But I just don't trust them. If they lost tonight, I'm not going to be surprised.
I mean, you know, part of me wants to go back to the Brooklyn series, okay, and say they showed up in those games. But Brooklyn didn't. So, like, you know, what happens when both teams show up on the same night? And that hasn't happened in this series. And the fact is, Miami's shown up for two games. The Celtics have shown up for one. Or one and a half, maybe. But even the first half of that game, to me, the big thing that sticks out is the defense. You gave up 39 points in the first quarter. 39. You come home up, tied 1-1, now with home court, and you give up 39 right out of the chute? Like, you should have just gone home at the end of the quarter.
Growth is not linear. Murray, if you ever have kids, you'll realize they turn 3-4 years old, they go on the potty. You think that's over? Okay. Throw out the diapers? No. Next day, they crap their pants. It's just the way it works. It's not linear. Tim in the car. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm still learning that.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, so I think it's pretty simply put, like, this team is just reactive in nature. They lose focus after wins. right? I mean, you can tell just by the way they go into their press conferences. Their voices are different. The way they carry themselves is different. And obviously that's expected, but it's like they get at home after a win, and they're, you know, they come in and lose a terrible game, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. We actually have to play in order to win a basketball game. They lose focus.
Yeah, and they're focused on the wrong things. The officials, the calls, the crowd, how my injury's going to play, how do I wrench the most drama out of this situation, draw attention to myself, or what? They're just sort of, they lack focus on the thing they should be focused on, which is the opponent. The opponent is the Heat. It's not the refs, and it's not all this other crap that they're focusing on.
And it started immediately, too. I think it was either the first or second trip down that Tatum missed a layup, and he was immediately complaining to the ref. Like, it started just like that.
Immediately. First or second trip down the floor. Absolutely, Murray. William in the fort. Go ahead, William.
Michael, Anthony, James, Jim, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I'm sick and tired of watching these phantom injuries ruin the game. It's the fourth quarter. Tatum goes down. They get shot with an elephant gun, goes down the tunnel, lays down on the bench or whatever. Jaylen Brown, on the other hand, comes out, gets, I think it was like 8 or 10 points, brings us back within one, comes back out of the tunnel. Here comes Jason Tatum, all happy as a clam. We're back, baby. I wouldn't have brought him in with 2 minutes left. No way. No way. You sit there and you watch this team come back and win. You got Pritchard on the in the corner, who's taking a defender. It's a 4-on-4 with Jaylen Brown absolutely murdering Strus. Why would you put him back in? Put him back in, and we go back down by 20.
Okay, William. He's your best player. I mean, that's sort of a hard second guess. You're going to put Tatum on the bench. You lose that game. The first thing you say is, why is Tatum on the bench? He's ready to go. Like, that's too tough of a call. But what's with all the play acting? Why are we play acting? It's a playoff game. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. You have a chance to go to the NBA Finals and win a championship. Why are you play acting? Why are you wasting your time and energy on that? Why are you are wasting time on trying to figure out how to rest the most drama? You're play acting. And look, Miami has a bunch of guys in and out too. But Jimmy Butler wasn't rolling around on the floor limping into the tunnel. He just never came back out. I never saw him. I never saw him get hurt. Now, today, this whole thing has come up with him getting tangled with Peyton Pritchard. I missed it at the time. I didn't even notice this yesterday. Like, no one reported this. Was this an online thing? He and Peyton Pritchard got tangled up. And, you know, people are wondering if Peyton Pritchard sort of is kind of a cheap shot and brought Jimmy Butler down. And Jimmy Butler did go down. But I didn't notice this during the broadcast unless they did it and I was out to lunch.
No, they didn't.
So, thank you. So, I didn't miss it in real time. Because you know why? Because Jimmy Butler wasn't rolling around on the ground. Ah, ah, ah. Like, what? Watch Marcus Smart. Like, look at the agony. Can you show it again on NBC Sports Boston? I mean, look at this. Ah, 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 ah. For like minutes. Listen, the camera has to go on him. And the camera has to show him. And then the camera has to go back and find the replay. Tyler Hero got hurt, I think. But I don't know, because he didn't spend minutes on the ground rolling around. Yeah, I'm not sure if he got hurt or he got benched, but either way, were there any histrionics with Tyler Hero?
No.
No.
Unless I missed something. Look at Marcus Smart. Look at this. I mean, he
slinks away because
at first he does, and it looks kind of nasty. I mean, his ankle does bend underneath him. I mean, I can see it. But it turns out he was totally fine. Right? I mean, he was completely fine, but look. And it's like the two guys carrying him off the court. And now the game has to stop. They go back into all the replays. The building's hot. And he's play acting. So why are you wasting your time play acting? And I'm not telling you that didn't hurt. It might probably hurt a little bit. But like, get up. Go back to the bench or go on the floor. And the Heat have guys in and out of the lineup. How come I didn't see them writhing on the ground and rolling around? And it's because they're not as interested in play acting as you are. It's It's ridiculous.
It was one of the more shameful succession of events in recent Celtics history.
God.
Really. I mean, like...
Everyone wants that Willis Reed moment.
And I agree
with you. The players, the fans.
I agree with you on the Tatum part of it, too, that... Because the first thing that popped into my head was, he wants out of this game. He wants out. He's had enough. He doesn't want to stick around. He's had a crap game. He can't make a pass that actually leans in the hands of a teammate. He wants out. That's how I felt.
I mean, and part of it's the culture of the sport, too, I guess. I mean, credit the refs for not stopping it. Good. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. It's like, you know, in hockey, we see it all the time. But Derek Forbort sitting there and just getting pummeled, like, with these slap shots, just pelted. And they don't blow the whistle. He's got to stay out there and just gut it out. And, you know, is he on the rolling around on the ice? He's trying to get up. He's trying to get back into play because he knows they're not going to blow the whistle. And they just play. They just keep playing. But not in basketball, man. And not with the Celtics team. It's like just rolling around on the ground. And, how much time are we going to spend on that when he's fine? And it's just, I mean, it's comical, but it also speaks to your lack of focus. Why are you spending time and energy on the histrionics of it as opposed to getting up and playing? We continue with your thoughts after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. Felger Maz live from Hurricanes at the Garden in advance of Game 4. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Getting you ready for Game 4 tonight, it's Felger and Maz live at Hurricanes at the Garden, presented by Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They lead all the way around, and the 0-2 pitch.
How about a quick Red Sox minute? How about your baseball team, Maz?
Hey, you want the good news or the bad news?
Bad news.
Okay, the bad news is they're still blowing leads. You know, the bullpen is still giving up leads late in the game. They still lead the major leagues in blown saves. Like, you know, so yes, the drama's all well and good, but the reality is you should have nailed down that game in the ninth inning. And so this is the frustrating part for me. And I heard a great stat today on Zolak and Bertrand that I did not know. That of their 6 extra innings losses before yesterday, I think it was. Obviously before yesterday, but I think they had 6 before yesterday. In every one of them, they had a lead going into the 8th inning.
Say that one more time.
The Red Sox, prior to yesterday, had not won an extra inning game this year.
Okay.
In all 6 of the losses, they had a lead going into the 8th inning.
That's a horrible
stat. Okay, it is. So this is my point. You know, now they're 1-6 in extra inning games. If they were 4-3, they'd be right there. So, you know, that hole in the bullpen, and this was a concern coming out of the spring, their inability to close out the games that they should win relatively easily is a fatal flaw. It needs to be fixed. And this relates directly to Saturday, because Garrett Whitlock gave up 10 hits in three innings on Saturday. And I still do not understand why Garrett Whitlock is in the rotation. And I understand it's a small sample, but his ERA as a starter right now is 4.70. Out of the bullpen this year, he was 0.93.
Still don't get why they've done this.
So what the hell are we doing? Like, this whole idea of nobody gets to face anybody three times through the lineup. But they'll break the rule with Garrett Richards? I mean, with Garrett Whitlock? I keep calling him Garrett Richards for some reason. God, they couldn't be more apart, far apart. But I really find that frustrating. So they have a clear and apparent need in the bullpen. And they have a guy who can dominate out there. Why are they forcing him into the rotation? Why are they doing it this way?
Yeah, you're asking me?
No, I mean, so, you know, we're in agreement on this. I'm mystified. I don't get it. Now, the good news. Unfortunately, I have to give you some good news, too.
I never asked for it.
Because I promised it.
I never asked for it.
Well, I said, do you want the bad news or the good news first? You said the bad news.
I never specified that I wanted any good news.
It sort of implies that there's good news.
Go ahead. Fine.
Okay. They basically crept back into it. They're three out of the second wild card spot. And there are only a couple of teams in front of them, one of whom is the White Sox, and they play three against the White Sox starting tonight. So
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. So, you know, they're right. I mean, they're right there. You take two out of three in this series, you pick up a game of the White Sox, then you get the Orioles, then you get the Reds, then you get the A's. So we knew these 2 weeks were going to be big. They're beating up on bad teams, but I'll take it. But that bullpen, my God, you've got to fix it.
The offense back?
I would say yes. Yeah. I think so. Look, Story hitting is a big part of it, Murray. You know, it lengthens out the lineup a little bit. And look, as much as I mock Franchi Cordero.
Can I read your line in the email?
Because yeah,
when I read this, I thought Dan Roach may have infiltrated our...
This didn't seem like Maz.
Stop it. No, just you sit there, because I'm going to read what Maz actually wrote in our email exchange.
I almost sent a follow to this.
I think Roachy infiltrated our email exchange, or Milliken, or Carabas, or some sort of...
Well, let's not forget who he's also getting a paycheck from.
Maz actually wrote this. Quote, if Franchi Cordero starts going deep, look out. It's like, who is this? Who? What happened to Maz?
So it was missing tonality. And after I sent it, I went, wait, I think that's going to come off the wrong way. Felker's going to read that as a positive.
It came out totally the wrong way.
How are we supposed to take that?
Okay, what I meant it is, if Franchi Cordero starts going deep, like, look out. That's how I meant it.
Well, parenthetically, you needed to add, you know, sarcasm.
I mean, seriously, if he starts becoming a factor, all bets are off. Talk about having a horseshoe stuck up your ass. That's what I meant by it.
How'd you like that 0-2 pitch he got yesterday?
Oh, my gosh.
It was 0-2.
Yes.
I know the bases were loaded, but 0-2.
Oh, brutal. I mean, talk about time to throw one up and out of the strike zone and let him go chase it. So I'll say this for the guy. I still don't know if he's any good. I don't think he is. He's better than he was last year. Like, there's plate discipline there. You know, he hits the ball more consistently. And I'll give him a lot of credit for that, because I thought he was god-awful last year. I didn't think he belonged remotely. I didn't think he did deserve to be a professional player, frankly, on any level. But now I see it. I say, okay, talk about a guy who's completely overhauled his approach and his swing. Amazing. So he is a functional professional baseball player. Now, I don't know if he's a big...
He is?
I didn't say big leaguer.
Oh.
I said professional.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know what he can give them over the longer term. But at least now he goes up there and, you know, leaves pitches outside the strike zone, doesn't chase, makes contact more consistently. You know, he's still an adventure, but if they start getting something out of him, like, again, that's a horseshoe stuck up your ass.
At least at least they're doing what they always do, even in the worst of times, is they come home and hit.
Correct.
And, you know, even the bad Red Sox teams, almost all of them, 99% of the time, they come home, it gets a little warmer, and they hit. And at least they're doing that, and that's recognizable. The pitching staff, you know, I think they can sort of patch it together, as the nerds tend to do. I still think they're going to come, you know, because now they, you know, so now they have to get a big spurt here just to get back to 500. they're not going to play at this pace. You know, they're going to drop back again. It's going to be, you know, one step forward, two step, you know, that sort of thing. I still think they got a long, long way to go, but at least I recognize them. All right, so there's a Red Sox minute. You can mix that in with our Celtics calls right back to you in our long commercial-free segment.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Felger and Maz are pre-gaming right now at Hurricanes at the Garden, presented by Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Grant, three, rims out, rebound, Tatum pounces on it, but we've got Smart and Lowry both on the ground, which is not a surprise, and Marcus Smart is reaching for his right ankle, and Marcus Smart needs help. He's calling for help. It's a horrific development here.
Now look, he's coming back.
The video Marcus on the Smart. Board is Marcus Smart walking in the back towards the tunnel, which means he should pop out here any second. And here he comes.
He's hobbling, though.
He is hobbling.
The hit. Marcus coming back in this game.
Marcus Smart is going back in the game.
Hurry, Drew. You have to cut his leg off with a doggone chainsaw to keep him out of these kind of games. Crazy.
Did a Paul Pierce moment just happen right in front of us? Tatum finds Marcus Smart. Oh, no. He's not going to hit a three, is he?
No! No, bullet, that man is... He's bionic! Damn!
Tatum, straight away up top, gets a screen from Jaylen Brown. Switches to the right hand, turns it over. Oladipo strips him of the ball.
It's like he's holding his right shoulder.
And that's exactly what it looks like from our standpoint. The chant is Tatum.
I think when he went and Victor Oladipo got the steal on him, I think what he did was he braced himself with his arm and his weight came down on his arm and his shoulders. He's trying to get up, trying to shake that thing off, but Tatum, like, he's going back to the locker room.
He is. Jaylen Brown takeover. He's got 42. It's a four-point game.
What can
93-89 with 4:06 to go.
What can Brown do for you and Tatum?
Tatum comes out of the locker room. There's too much happening.
Can you get Tatum back in this game? Yep.
Yes. Tatum to the scorer's table.
What did his mama give him back in the back as she went back there?
If you thought the comeback in 2002 was crazy against the Nets, this could be the sequel that outdoes the original.
Oh. The nonsense.
It was insufferable, wasn't
the
it?
The fake drama nonsense.
My favorite line from Grandy in that montage is, did a Paul Pierce moment just happen in front of us? Yeah, I mean, if you mean in that it was played up and kind of fake, yeah, it did. Yep.
Play acting. Oh,
come
God.
On.
It's insufferable. But I think it speaks to part of the problem.
They're going
to
come out tonight with arrows through their head. They just, you know, those little things you used to stick over your head.
More focus on that kind of nonsense than they are the opponent. Back to your phones. Brendan in South Boston. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, I have 2 points real quick. One on Marcus Smart. Anyone that's played hoop knows that really hurt. He could really be hurt, really be in agony and pain, and then still play it up, which he did, which creates energy for the crowd, which is great. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make one other point. I saw a stat yesterday. The Heat have won 2 quarters out of 12 in this series.
Oh, God.
It shows that we're the better team, but Tatum and Brown, their ball handling's terrible, and maybe Marcus Smart was right that they go as he goes because he's the only one that can handle the damn ball. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, they've only lost 2 of the 12 quarters.
Just got an email minutes ago. Big Jim, Celts have won 10 of 12 quarters so far this series. Can you talk about how they've been the better team outside of quarter three of game one and quarter of game three? No, we can't. How is this a thing? How is this gaining traction? Do you know how bad this looks for the team, you people? Why do you love this stat? It's garbage.
Udoka and Grant Williams both highlighted it in press conferences. That's why.
I'm sorry, so you said Williams and who?
Coach Udoka and Grant Williams both have highlighted that they've been winning quarters in press conferences. That's why.
So add it to my list. A part of me wonders if you're just that short of being a championship team because you're not quite there. You don't quite get it. You're not fully mature. And what things say that to me? The fact that you're constantly bitching about refs, that you're constantly rolling around on the floor, you're constantly dinking around with injuries. Am I hurt? Am I not hurt? I'm in the tunnel. I'm back on. I'm on the ground. I'm writhing in pain. I'm back on the floor, everybody. You're somehow pleasuring yourself over a stat like this, that you've only lost two of the 12 quarters, and therefore you're the better team. And so
yeah, more days in first place.
So it's like add up all these little things, and it all adds up to me. You're not quite there. You don't quite get it.
So if you...
it's one thing for the fans to say we've only lost two of the 12 quarters.
That the coach?
Good God.
Yeah, no. So look, again, they're trying to latch on to whatever they can. I would tell you that if you win eight of the first nine rounds of a fight, and then in the 10th you get knocked out, you know what you are? You're either a loser, soft, or stupid. I would also argue that potentially all three. So, you can talk all you want about the quarters. When you get blistered 39-18 in the first quarter, I don't give two rat's asses whether you win the next three.
It's such loser talk and mentality. It shows you that they're not – so, again, that you're getting this from the coach and Grant Williams. It shows you they're focused on the wrong thing. They're sitting around saying, well, this doesn't make any sense. How are we losing this? Right the wrong. Stop bitching to the refs.
The Celtics are the better team.
They are.
And if a fan wants to play with that, go play with it. Go play with yourself. It's no problem.
That's whatever the coach and a player.
Whatever makes you feel better as a fan, go ahead, play with it. But, however, thank you, Stu. Yes. When the team is actually saying it and believing their own crap, it's another indication that they don't quite get it. They're almost there. I don't think they're fully there where they fully get it or understand what it takes.
Are you convinced they win tonight?
I'm not fully convinced, no.
No, me neither.
I mean, I like him. I would bet him. Patrick in L.A., go ahead. You're up next.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I mean, just to comment, the only thing more insufferable than these guys doing their best imitation of FIFA players is that stupid quarter argument. But getting to Marcus Smart, you can't be surprised that they had a game like this after his ridiculous comments on Friday. And then just to epitomize the whole thing, if you saw the end of the game, towards the end of the game, where they're inbounding under their basket, to Marcus Smart, he half-asses it, ball stolen and scored immediately. Like, what are we talking? I'm tired of hearing his crap about how he's the motor that makes the team go and his guy. I mean, he's ridiculous.
I'm with you, Patrick. It's like they got a little ahead of themselves after that win in Miami, didn't they? Starting with Marcus Smart. Oh, my God, the way he talked about himself. Like, dude, you're 1-1. Next game, put your head down.
Exactly. They're not planning the parade route for you yet. I'm glad he brought up that play. That was embarrassing. That was Lowry who came in and took it.
Yes.
That was embarrassing, that play. And that is indicative of the kind of lapses that they have in terms of concentration that bite them in the ass.
We've got Kevin in Grafton. What do you got, Kevin?
Hey, I think that the entire team kind of just goes through Jason Tatum. Everything you're saying about the team being immature and things like that, I think it's really just Jason Tatum. He said a few months ago in that J.J. Redick podcast about how he grew up and he knows that it's not promised that he's going to be here every year, but whenever they have the series lead, he just can't show up. If I see him drive into the lane with the ball 3 feet out from his chest once again, I'm going to gouge my eyes out.
No Jimmy Butler, and he does not have a single field goal in the second half. With the game, back in hand, back in contention. Not a single bucket without Jimmy Butler on the other side.
Yeah, I think he got pushed around. He got bullied. P.J. Tucker was on him a lot, cut in his shorts, and he didn't know how to handle it. Again, it was akin to what happened to Durant in the Brooklyn series. They got in his shorts, and Tatum didn't know how to deal with it.
David and Len, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys, great show. Love you guys in the comment. Jason Tatum needs to grow up and show up. He should be embarrassed by that fake injury that he had. And I agree with Saga. There's something missing there, and I don't know what it is, but maybe it's between Tatum and Smart. But Jason Tatum, he'll show up for a half, and then he'll go out the line. So,
well, I don't know about that. I saw him play a full game in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago in Game 6 when you had to have it. And I expect him to do something like that tonight. You know, but it's always sort of in response, which I don't want to say is easier, but in some respects it is, right? I mean,
you don't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, while you have a bad day, you're more likely to have a good one the next one. It's just sort of the way the law of averages. And so I think, you know, Tatum's good in that spot. He'll be good tonight. He's good in this spot. What happens when now it's expected and you're ahead and, you know, and I'm not, you know, they obviously cleaned up Milwaukee in Game 7 as well. But I just think, I don't know. You see nights like Saturday night and you wonder, does he still got some growing to do? Did they still have some growing
to
do?
Yeah, again, I think it relates to killer instinct. That's what I think it is. And you can put it on Tatum if you want. You can put it on anybody. You know, Udoka, like, to me, it's reflective of the whole team. I don't know how. So all the games they've won, basically, and I'm picking it up after Brooklyn, okay? But all the games they've won have basically been must-win scenarios. You know, it's either you win or you fall behind two, or you win or you lose the series. So it's, you know, Game 6 and 7, they responded against Milwaukee. But again, you win Game 2 in Miami. You come back 1-1. You now have home court. You don't want to go to a Game 7. And you don't show up?
Yes.
You don't show up.
That's what happened.
That is, to me, that is just mind-blowing. I don't get it.
Okay, this will be our lead topic, I think, for most of the day. You can mix in some Red Sox if you want. And we will get to, starting next hour, Patriots. They had a practice today. First one open to the media. We got to find out exactly who was working with the quarterback.
Mm.
We got to find out exactly who was calling plays, such as they were in a mini camp, in a sort of shorts and T-shirt situation. We got to hear from Bill Belichick on his coaching situation, Bill Belichick on his play-calling situation. I would sum up Belichick's comments as very, very defensive and snippy. You'll start to hear that sound. Mac Jones spoke about all these situations. So we'll go through all this sound to give you everything that we know. There's some meat on the bone with the Patriots, and we'll start it in 90 seconds after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222 and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.